Why are we here? What is it that drives those of us who profess to be Christians to meet together like this, to come to church? What's our purpose? That whole passage we've just read from Paul is, or from the book of Romans written by Paul, is explaining so many of the promises of God, explaining so much about what we can expect of God. Over the last few weeks, month or two, during Lent, we've been answering some of the questions that came up through the Who Cares survey that we did before Christmas. This week, we're thinking about what can we be certain about? What are we uncertain about? What can we be certain about? And how does God change that? So, I don't know if you were counting, but just listening to what we've said and listening to what we've sung this morning, how many promises have there been in there? I love the line, when God is for us, who can be against us? I also love the piece that I read earlier. I'm sure that nothing can separate us from God's love. Not life nor death, angels or spirits, present or future, powers above or powers below, nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love. I'm sure for those of you who would profess to be Christians, you will have promises from the Bible that you love, things that are important to you. Remember them, share them. Over lunch today, over dinner, share them with people you're around. And just encourage other people with the encouragement and the promises of God. Because what is written in God's Word, in the Bible, we can trust. I mentioned a song earlier in the service this morning. I'm too young to know this one, but I do know the first few lines. Jesus loves me, this I know. There we go. The Bible tells us we can trust the Bible. We can trust what it says in it is going to come to pass, because that's why God has given it to us. So I want to give us a little bit just to sober things down a little bit, sober things up a little bit this morning. I've had a brilliant time the last few months sharing with Marjorie's house group, reading through the book of Revelation. Not the first three chapters, but chapters four to the end. We did our sixth session this last Tuesday. It's one of my favourite books in the Bible. I love it. I love the language, the way that it describes things, the pictures that it gives us. But it's quite hard. If you've ever tried reading it, it's quite a hard book to read and to understand. So being able to share with that Connect group in that way has been a real privilege. The last verse that we read this last Tuesday night was this. It's chapter 20, verse 15. And it says this: whoever did not have their names written in the book of the living were thrown into the lake of fire. Now, if I'm going to trust the parts of the Bible that say, when God is for us, who can stand against us? I also have to trust the book of the Bible that says, whoever did not have their names written in the book of the living were thrown into the lake of fire. It's a big contrast, isn't it, between the kinds of things we often talk about and what I'm just saying. So, yeah, I'm going a little bit hellfire and damnation this morning. I don't apologise for that, because that's what it says in the Bible. There's a lot of that hellfire and damnation bit in that particular reading we did, because it's entitled The Final Judgment. The reason that I'm reading it is because Jesus, although that book hadn't been written at that time, Jesus was fully man and fully God. Jesus knew, as God, what was coming. And what was coming was something he, God, was not prepared to let pass. God was going to do something about it. God was going to try to rescue as many people as possible from the lake of burning fire. It's what motivated Jesus to leave heaven to be born as a baby, to live as a man, to die on a cross, and be raised from death, to do that for us. See, for Christians, there is certainty, because the Holy Spirit confirms it within us, that we are safe. We are with him. We will be with him forever. He has wiped out our sin. He has made us clean. He has recreated that link between us and God the Father. We can have a relationship with him. And that is brilliant, isn't it? Is that great? But that's, I would suggest, not why we are here as Christians. As Christians, we are here because the world needs to know about that. Can anyone predict the future? Some people look at horoscopes, some people look at tea leaves, some people look at all sorts of things, various forms of fortune telling. It is all false. It is all wrong. None of that is of God. None of it is going to give you the certainty that God can give you. I don't know if anybody ever watches that program on late at night, usually when I'm trying to go to sleep, 24 Hours in A&E. At the very start of the program, one of the, I can't remember if it's one of the doctors or nurses, but one of them says in the opening credits that the people they meet in A&E every day went out that morning to a normal day. They were going to work, they were going to whatever it was they were going to, and did not expect what was going to happen. Very often completely life-changing situations that they meet people in. And nobody was expecting that that's what was going to happen to them today. We don't know what's around the corner, but we can have confidence in a God who does. Because God does know. God can make every one of those cans float. If God says that's what's going to come to pass, that is what will happen, because he knows. He knows what's going to happen in a few minutes, in a few hours, in a few years. And that confidence can allow us to hand everything over to him, to allow him to direct what we do, because he knows what's coming. Therefore, he will help us and he will strengthen us, and he won't let anything come to pass for us that we can't cope with. How do we cope? We cope by the power of the Holy Spirit that he gives us when we submit to him, when we give our lives over to him, when we allow him to take control of where we go, of what we do. Ultimately, we do know what's going to happen. We can predict one thing about the future, that Jesus is going to return, and one day everybody will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in final judgment. And at that time, every single one who has accepted Jesus as Lord will be saved. But not those whose names are not written in the book of the living. They will not. So as a Christian, surely that's motivation for me to go to tell people, to explain to people everything that Jesus has done and what it means and what it can mean for them. So I recognise with such a great crowd of people that not everybody here will think, well, I'm not a Christian, what does this mean to me? This is some guy at the front talking about something that kind of doesn't mean anything. So I need to take a bit of my own advice, don't I? And I need to tell you something about an amazing man who lived 2,000 years ago. His name was Jesus. He wasn't just a man, he was God. He came to live with people on this earth. He came to find out what it was like to be part of creation, not just to be creator, but to be part of creation, to learn what life was like from the inside, to grow up, to live, but live without sinning, without doing anything wrong. For his whole life, he did nothing wrong. That's what put him in a position that meant he could take our sin and recreate that bridge between us and God, because he himself was the sacrifice for us when he died on the cross. He took all of that and made it right, made a way for us to be right with God. He's the only person who has ever lived who could ever do that, because he is the only one who lived without sin. God proved it. God raised him from the dead. We will celebrate that in a couple of weeks' time at Easter. Jesus was killed in the most brutal way, and then God raised him as proof that everything was right. And Jesus remained physical. Jesus remains with the scars on his hands, on his feet, in his side, from the thorns around his head. He was taken up to heaven physically as a man. And the Bible says we will see him come back in the same way. He will return in the way you saw him go. The Bible tells me that God promises good gifts to everyone who loves him. All we have to do is ask. There's nothing else to it. All we have to do is ask. We can't earn the right for salvation. We can't do anything ourselves that mean we can be right with God, other than trust in Jesus, other than ask him to be our Saviour, to take our sin. God gives us certainty in the future. The Bible gives us certainty. It tells us ultimately what's going to happen. It's up to us to decide what to do about it. I want to just give everybody the opportunity just to think about that in terms of Jesus having done something amazing for you. Jesus having come to take away your sin. Maybe you've never prayed to God before. Maybe you've never asked God to tell you more about him, to come alive to you, to explain to you more. Can I just ask you to bow your heads for a moment? Because God doesn't force his way in. He could, but he doesn't. The whole point of why God created us is so we could be his friends. And a friend isn't forced. A friend wants to be a friend. He offers the gift of eternal life. He offers the opportunity to be right with God. And he will live with you and beside you and aid you and comfort you and be your advocate and give you peace by his Spirit coming to walk with you. So I'm just going to pray a short prayer about relationship with God. Echo it in your heart. I echo it every time it's read. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard this. Maybe this is the first time you've ever prayed. You may have ever felt like echoing this prayer. Maybe it's the thousandth time. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the wrong things that I have done. I ask your forgiveness now as I bring them to my mind. I turn from everything that I know is wrong, knowing that you died on the cross for me so that I can be forgiven, so that I can be set free. Thank you for offering me that forgiveness. Thank you that you also promised to send your Spirit to help me, to give me peace, to live with me, to show me the right way. Thank you for that gift. I now receive that gift. Come into my life. Come into my life by your Spirit. Lord, I know one day we will all stand before you. And I thank you that you will stand with me in that time and be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Whatever state you're at, whether you're thinking about it, exploring on the Alpha course, or you would have, you know, you've given your life to God many, many years ago and would profess to be a Christian, that gift God gives us of certainty in the ultimate future works both ways. We have the promise of eternal life, and that is amazing. We also know that we need to get people's names in the book of the living before it's too late. So why are we here? We're here to tell people about Jesus and everything that he has done. Amen.